This visit, I'm very honored to be able to achieve a number of lifelong ambitions. And one was to address the deplorable, despicable way that people of color have been portrayed in this country. I've been working in the prisons and schools for over 40 years, and I always ask the question, have you ever seen the image of a saint that looks like you? And I've never had one person of color ever say yes. And the Creator has granted me the privilege of being able to rectify that very damaging fact. And that is that this brilliant artist named Steve Prince has created 9 12-by-2.5-foot panels of the 9 people killed at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston 2 years ago. And on the panels, just like on the glass stained panels in the churches, they will be referred to as Saint Clemente, Saint Myra, Saint Tawanza, Saint Susie. And on next Thursday, June 15th at 6 p.m., we will have the unveiling of these saints at the Painted Bride Art Center. And if I've lived long enough to see nothing else in my life come to pass, to live to see that come to pass will be more than I could ever ask for. Because that's something, that imagery, that negative imagery of people of color is something I've faced all of my life. The angels are always white, the devil's always black. And believe me, social engineers know how damaging that can be to a child's self-esteem. And nothing could be more brutal and cruel than to make a child think that they have no worth, not to mention any human being, to make any human being feel that they do not have self-worth, that they are not a human. So I just, if I could live to see June 15th, that'll be good. I will feel that I have earned my right to have consumed the food and all the other gifts that life has to give. I feel that I've been worthy of it, just to do that.
It's a beautiful, beautiful work of art, this picture you have here.
It's the image of the 4 girls that were killed in the Birmingham church bombing. In the work, they are the scribes, and they go to the 9 people who were killed in Charleston and ask of them, what is it they would like to be written into the Book of Eternal Ages, which is our memory? And they tell each of the scribes what it is they wish the world to remember them by. What they tell the scribe is the text that I've written. When I was writing the text, I'm a 68-year-old man of Jonah from the Deep South. I've been beat up because of the texture of my hair. I've been looked down the nose at by the principal of my high school. I've been jumped by 5 white men because I was on the wrong side of town with my trumpet while I was trying to figure out how to play vibrato on Tenderly for my mother. I've had police put guns in my back and my head in the back roads of Texas and on Broadway in New York City. I've had all of that. But the music saved me. My tendency is to protect myself. And when I was given the assignment by the Creator to write this piece, I thought it was one thing. But I met the son of St. Daniel Simmons, Sr. I met him in Charleston. And after that, I realized that I needed to get out of the way and write what I'm given to write, not what I want to write. That's a big difference. Because what I want to write might meet might reach and affect 10 people, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. But when the creator give you something to write, it affects everybody forever. The heart of the piece is forgiveness. Because the people who exert violence on someone else, they truly are the sick ones. They think that they are powerful, but they are truly the ones in need of help. And the only kind of help that could help them is forgiveness, because the language they know is violence. So if you react with violence to them, then you're basically saying they're right.
When you say you wanted it to be one thing and then met this man and it realized it had to be something else, what did you want it to be and how did it change?
I wanted to be somebody come at you with a knife to pull a gun on him, you know? My grandfather was a landowner. He didn't fear anybody. White, black, any color, you know, you come at him, there was a price to pay, and even a larger price to pay if you would come at his children. Now, when this man attacked them in Charleston, a standing senator, no less, St. Pinckney, his wife and daughter were near. So what would a bear do if you come near the Cubs?
They attack.
But I realized that the weapon of forgiveness is ultimately ultimately sharper and more pointed and more exacting than the edge of retaliation. That's man.
And you talked with the son of
St. Daniel's. Is Daniel Jr. And St. Daniel Simmons had a Purple Heart from Vietnam. You know, he knew about killing. The lesson clearly was, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. And Dylan didn't come in by himself. St. Myra says, in her text, she says, I watched that poor boy as he entered the sanctuary and all those people following behind him. He didn't come alone. He didn't create himself. He didn't create that pain in himself. He didn't create that poison in himself. Somebody poured that into him. He didn't come out of his mother like that.
Wow. So does this piece, can you describe it a little bit?
It's written for a quartet of piano, bass, drum, and trumpet. Thank God the composer allowed a part for me. Sometimes he doesn't do that. Contrary to what I've heard some critics suggest, you know, he just writes himself a piece, but no, not true. I begged to have a part on many pieces that the composer said, no, don't hear it, have to write what I hear. So at any rate, the pieces for violin, trumpet, piano, bass, drum, choir, male singer singing the roles of the three saints that were killed, three male saints that were killed, St. Simmons, St. Pinckney, and St. Tuanza. And then we have two women singing the parts of the six saints that were killed. I've never heard music like this before. I've never heard anything like it. When I got to Philadelphia, I thought I was, you know, I was hoping I was through. And when I actually thought I was through here working on the last veil, I immediately continued working. And I didn't even know what I was writing or why I was writing it. But then I had this dream, and there were three women that came to me. Three women and a child, a young girl. And they said, well, Hannibal, what about us? What about the ones who lived? I said, I got you. Now I realize what I was writing. You know the title I put on the piece on top of the paper was We Who Lived when I first started writing it.
Wow.
So what about, you know, they said the saints are okay now, but we're still here. We're still here with this pain. Somebody might come in and shoot us. What about us? So I wrote this haunting mantra, and it's on top of a drums in 3/4. It goes, tang, 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 tang. I have lived to tell the story. I have come to testify that God is the true power, that truth will conquer the lie. Stand, my people, stand where you are. The day of redemption is not so far. Stand, my people, stand while you can. Armies have gathered to carry out the evil plan. Come, ancestors, come, 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 angels to touch the hallowed ground. It is time to strike the nail on the head and drive this evil down. How long will we suffer? Only time will tell. We will dance the dance of heaven or share the fires of hell.
Wow.
So now I'm officially through, you know, finished. You know, I go by the piano and she doesn't.
You can't change it now.
Yeah, right. I'm through. She doesn't look at me like, you know, my wife always asks me, she says, well, why don't you just finish it? Can't you just finish it? Well, you know, you're a mother. You couldn't just finish a birth when you want it. You know, you're in pain. It finishes when it finishes, you know. I know when it finishes, but I can't make it finish. It has to finish itself. Trying to explain that to her is like her trying to explain to me what it's like to have a baby. So we both just step back and look at each other and call it a truce.
Both processes are kind of mysterious.
Oh, that's right, that's right. That's the profound beauty of it, though, you know. Oh, boy.
Well, last time we talked about how this process of writing music and having these pieces of art come into being is so mysterious, and you wanted to have this be as transparent as possible. How do you do that? Is it sharing your thoughts as we're doing now, or maybe there's not a way to take the mystery out of it?
No, the it's impossible to take the mystery out of it, but I do reveal my process. I do have a process before I start a new work. In Camden, at the Creative School of the Arts, the Morgan Village, where I always go, and when I first began this piece, I went there. I had one scroll. It was at the very beginning. So I went back recently to report to them that I had completed the mission. And young Joshua says, he said, Uncle Hannibal, they all call me Uncle Hannibal, affectionately, Uncle. He said, Uncle Hannibal, where do your words and your text come from? And I said, well, Brother Joshua, you know where they come from. So he said, the Creator. I said, yes. So my process is that I have to clear my head of a lot of things. So I go to the forest of Rosanke, Texas, generally. And I sit and I wait and I fast and I get out of my way, you know, so that the Creator can tell me what to do, how to do it. And generally, that's how I begin. So far, so good.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.